Welcome back to the Badass Reset Club. I'm your host, Heather Yancey, and this week we're breaking down some of the most common questions that people have about menopause and weight training. And your question just might get answered. So stick around, hold on. First, I am a firm believer that we should always be learning. We should always be putting ourselves out there, getting uncomfortable, because that's where we make impact. Firmly believe this. And I want to share with you just a little something funny. This past week, I got into a truck with someone I had never met before and drove to another country with him. Yes, I did. And it sounds crazy, and maybe it kind of is in theory, but it's also really an exceptional way to put yourself into a situation where you will learn, grow, and thrive. So let me tell you, I had just joined a speaking organization, and the president of the organization had put out an email saying, "Hey, I'm making a cannonball run for the border if anybody wants to go." And I thought about it, and yep, with a 24-hour notice, I decided I would meet this man in a parking lot and drive to Canada, to Vancouver, BC with him, and put myself out there in a whole new realm. And I am so happy that I did this because I made some fantastic connections, got the opportunity to get up on stage, but also really learned some valuable tips from all of the coaches, from the professional speakers that were up there. It was such a value-packed day. And yeah, I put myself out there. I got really uncomfortable, but I also loved it. And I impart that upon my kids, my family, my friends. Like, we should be doing the things that scare us a little bit. Nothing dangerous, of course, but things that make us really step up our character and help us just to get ahead. One, two, three, four. Welcome to the Badass Reset Club, a special place where if you've lost your way, girl, we're here to help guide you back. Those club doors are open up wide so we can discuss all things fitness, nutrition, body composition, hormones, menopause, beauty, headspace, and more. Hey there, my name's Heather. I'm a fitness expert, nutrition coach, autoimmune athlete, mom of three pretty cool kids, and married to one handsome firefighter. I started this club because after years of over-exercising, under-fueling, gaining weight, dealing with Hashimoto's disease, and experiencing hormones gone crazy, I knew there had to be a better way. So come on in, badass. Let's hit that reset together. Okay, so in the car, in the truck, on the way to Canada, this person asked me, "What's your narrative?" And, you know, my narrative, I haven't shared really on the podcast very much. My narrative is I have a background with some, you know, scary health concerns, things that most people are used to. Most people have something that they're worried about between skin cancer and autoimmune disease. Like, yes, there are health concerns, and I want to be the healthiest that I can be. But the narrative in and around menopause, man, does that really change? Most women will experience some sort of change that is just like stops you in your tracks. Whoa, what is this? You know, I've spoken to so many women and I've worked with so many women who have varying degrees of difficulties as they're going from perimenopause to menopause and postmenopause. You know, you're in such a state of transition that oftentimes we don't recognize it's a transition or what it is until we're down the road, until we look back and we go, "Oh crap, yes. Why didn't I see that?" And so my narrative for going through this journey is really one of, It was convoluted between an autoimmune disease with the brain fog, with weight gain, with low energy, mixed in a little bit with that and perimenopause that I never knew that's what it was. I never knew that the reason that my joints were hurting all the time was from perimenopause. It wasn't until I fully went through into menopause that I went, oh, yes. Now, this is why I am hellbent on helping people to navigate their journey and to start their journey as early as possible. Because when you do, when you really take to heart all of the things that we can do to transition through these changes, it's going to be so much smoother. It's going to be such a nicer ride. Now, I can't guarantee it's going to be a great ride, but it's going to be a nicer ride. You're going to be prepared. And so my story is I went through some rough times, some really rough times. And not to say that there still isn't hardship with fluctuating hormones, because my hormones are still up and down and all over the place, even though I am technically in menopause. But I'm doing all the things that we know can be very helpful. And one of those things is weight training. So I've done podcasts before about resistance training and why it's so especially helpful in menopause. But today I want to hit it from a different perspective, and I want to answer the questions that people have and give you some help and some insight in and around that. So first question is, how does menopause affect muscle mass and bone density? Like, we hear it all the time that it will, you know, it'll be hurtful for those things. It can really take muscle mass down, and it can also affect bone density. So we know that menopause can lead to the decrease in muscle mass and to bone density because of the hormonal changes. So when we have this drop in the estrogen and in progesterone, we know that we're going to have the changes. We won't always see them, but we can guarantee that they're there. We know this from research. Weight training can counteract these effects by stimulating muscle growth and improving bone strength. So muscle protein synthesis is happening when we are weight training. And I want to piggyback on this because some women don't really understand. They think that when I'm saying weight training, that I'm talking about barbells and, you know, crazy heavy weight. I'm not talking about that. It's going to be specific for every single woman. So some women are going to have more experience with lifting weights. And yes, they can be doing kettlebells and barbells and, you know, some bigger, heavier things. But for some women, weight training is going to be body weight and it's going to be resistance bands. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go, you know, down to Gold's Gym and load up the rack as heavy as possible. That's not what I'm talking about. But we do need to have at least 2 days a week where we're working on this, where we're starting to progress our weight training. So we can't be with the same dumbbells forever. We just can't. And if you're busting out, you know, 15, 20 reps of something, that's not enough for you anymore. You need to constantly be putting the stimulus on there to make the bones improve and to really help muscle mass. Okay. Another thing with that is overdoing it. So we need to have enough, but we also have to be mindful that we're not overtraining. We are stuck at this point of the game with the majority of women still thinking that they have to work out more and they have to consume less in order to get smaller. I am so on the path of changing this language to eat enough to become stronger. If we can shift our thinking to eating more healthy whole foods and becoming stronger, we are going to fare much better. What happens when we are weight training and we're consistently doing it and we're getting the right nutrition is our body composition changes. We become a little more leaned and defined and toned because of that muscle mass. And so I really want to put to bed the doing more, working out more, and eating less. And ladies, like, just keep it in mind, your muscles are not made when you're lifting weights. Your muscles are made in the recovery. So if you're working out every day, you're not giving your body an opportunity to build more muscle mass. You're not giving your bones the opportunity to get stronger. So you have to have those recoveries. Okay, that was number one. Number two, when we are talking about exercising, women want to know, what are the best exercises for women going through menopause? I'm going to tell you, it's compound exercises. So that's when you're working multiple muscle groups at the same time. So that could be squats, it could be deadlifts, it could be bench presses. This is going to be so much more effective for women at this stage of the game than just working on triceps, just working on shoulders. You want to be able to use bigger compound movements. And then you're going to do that in a smart way, meaning you're going to do enough sets a week with recovery in between. So we want to typically do at least 8 sets of an exercise, working muscle groups, in order to see that change. And that's per week. That's like the bare minimum. So if you are doing deadlifts, if you're doing 3 sets of deadlifts once a week, it's not enough. You want to do more. You need a little bit more than that. So now we're going back to working out or resistance training, weight training twice a week and trying to get those sets in.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, dropping in here to call BS on the Get Bikini Body Ready Now advertising that's everywhere. Oh, so tired of it. The women that I work with know that they need to bulletproof their bodies by building muscle mass, by changing their body composition, by learning how to fuel properly so that they look, feel, and perform their best. This 12-week Badass Reset Method program solves all the problems of having to constantly go on diets and having to do the bikini body programs. This is the end of the road. Learn what you need to learn and carry on with your badass self. Go find more information in the show notes.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Number 3, how can I adapt my weight training routine to accommodate symptoms that get in the way, like hot flashes and fatigue? Well, a simple way to do this is really by focusing on just shorter, more frequent workouts. So you could do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday and have those workouts be just a little bit shorter. So you're not really burning yourself out. And what you want to focus in on is incorporating the rest periods. So if you need to take longer breaks in between those exercises, take longer breaks. And you, of course, want to stay hydrated. So think about the symptoms that are most aggravating in menopause. It can be the hot flashes. It can be just the general fatigue. So one of the things that happens often in menopause is our mood changes. And we're going to talk about this in another question, but we can also have a loss of, I hate the word motivation because it's such a fickle bitch, but we can have this loss of oomph for wanting to do our workouts. It's kind of like a attitude of just bleh, like you just feel bleh and not real excited. Energy is low. And so when we shorten the workouts, when we cap them, it doesn't give us the opportunity as much to just drag our heels through it. So if you need to shorten it up, but still working on getting those 8 sets in, do it. Number 4, what role does nutrition play in supporting weight training during menopause? That is a million-dollar question right there. It is a huge role. It's super vital. You are not going to be surprised to hear me say this, but the first and foremost thing that I'm going to talk about is prioritizing your protein. So you need to have enough protein so that we are supporting that muscle mass. And you're helping to recover from your workouts. Those amino acids are really important for you to recover from the workouts and to give you that nice muscle protein synthesis. So you need to have enough protein. If you're not sure how much protein you should have, go back a few episodes. We cover it in quite a few of the podcasts. You can always reach out to me as well. I'm happy to help you with that. Getting healthy fats is going to be important too. Now, you don't want to have healthy fats before a workout. Typically, our guts do not handle that well before exercising. So make sure that you're later after your exercise getting good healthy fats. This is also going to be a very key player in your fueling. It's going to fuel your recovery and it's going to help your hormones. So making sure that you are getting nutrient-dense foods and fiber. Fiber is one of the most important things that we can get in menopause. But to support your weight training, it's going to be protein, protein, protein. And then just make sure that you're getting nutrient-dense foods with a focus on good, healthy fats. Number 5, can weight training help reduce menopausal symptoms like mood swings and depression? What I was alluding to before, yes, this is a very common thing that we're experiencing, these mood swings and the depression and anxiety. Really a commonplace thing for most women who are going through, and it can start in perimenopause as well. It can start well before you get into menopause. So we know that weight training can help improve mood. It can reduce the symptoms of depression by releasing those happy hormones, those endorphins that are going to promote overall health and well-being. You know, it's no surprise that when someone is given a medicine for depression, for anxiety, the doctor oftentimes pairs that with make sure to exercise, get plenty of exercise, get your heart pounding, because it is such an important piece for our cognition, for our mood, for our brain health. So weight training is just a, you know, every time we're contracting a muscle, we're doing a service for our brains and for our mood and for our health. Okay, moving on. Let's go to number 6. All right. I talked a little bit about this before. How much weight training is enough and how often should I be doing it? At least twice a week. Once a week is not going to do much for you. You need to be doing it at least twice a week, but I would put the cap on no more than 5. And 5 is for ladies who are training for something, or they are working with a trainer, they've got a solid program, and they've also worked their way up to that. This is not going to be for the newbie who is just starting. The newbie just starting is going to do 2, maybe 3 if we're talking about body weight. You do not want to be doing any more weight training than necessary. So some signs that you are overtraining: not being able to recover from fatigue, like wiped out. Sleep gets disrupted. You're sore and you can't recover from that soreness. Your joints are starting to hurt. Weight training should be a benefit to helping joints. Like, it should be the elixir to making joints happy. If you're doing too much, your joints aren't going to be happy. What other things should we think of? Other precautions when you are looking at overdoing it. Think about your hormonal health. Think about your libido. When things are hit, when you're not sleeping, when your libido's off, when you're sore all the time, that can be from overtraining. So just be mindful, and that's a good place to start. All right, moving right along. We're going to number six. Sorry, seven. We're on seven. Are there any risks or precautions I should be aware of when starting? Well, very similar to the last question. Yes, you absolutely need to not overdo it, but you need to know what you're doing, and you should work with a trainer who's going to help you with your form. So important to make sure that the mechanics of how you move is going to be right for you to then take on weight. So if you're someone who is not used to working out and you go to do a squat, but your knees are caving in and your feet are rolling in and it's painful, that's not going to serve you well to start adding weight to it. You're just going to get hurt. So yes, those precautions, absolutely. Please make sure that you're working with somebody who can help you and make sure that you're doing things correctly. You also want to pay attention, you know, have you gotten approval from your doctor? Is this something that you can be starting? Do you have any pre-existing health conditions or concerns that maybe would prevent you from starting to weight train? So be safe, be smart, and train for the place that you're coming from. And the last question I have is, what are some realistic expectations for results when I start weight training? This one gets asked more often than any of the others. People want to know, when am I going to see that I'm starting to get six-pack abs and ripped? Ladies, if you didn't have six-pack abs and were ripped 5 to 10 years ago, I want you to set your expectations back to the beginning of this conversation about when we're talking about our bodies, that we want to be stronger and be able to eat more food. That is the goal. We do not want to be a waif. We do not want to get smaller. We want to be stronger. And then you have to trust the process that when you get stronger, when you build the muscle mass, your body composition is going to change. It's just how it works. So when you feed your body properly and you're lifting the weights and you have the mindset in and around, I expect that each week, something is going to change. I'm going to progress in my workouts, and I expect at the end of 4 weeks to feel stronger in my workouts. I expect at the end of 8 weeks to be able to do more reps and sets. I expect in 12 weeks to start seeing some changes that I am getting stronger. And maybe those changes are your waist circumference is going to go down. Maybe those changes are that you feel like your jeans fit better. Maybe those changes are, holy cow, I didn't know I could lift that much. The changes will come. The expectations need to be kept at a realistic level. So when we're navigating through these changes, we need to know that our mindset plays such an important part. We need to know that the inspiration to work out won't always be there. But when it becomes a consistent habit, then we just do the work. And we need to know that all of these things that we're doing with our weight training are going to play off so that we are able to do these things well into our later years. I don't want the narrative for us to be the narrative of someone that you know, possibly someone that you love, who can no longer get up and do what they want to do because they didn't take care of themselves. They didn't protect their muscle mass, and they didn't do what they needed to do when they were losing their hormones. It's so sad to me that we can prevent this stuff, and yet not everybody knows this or knows how. So if you're somebody who doesn't lift weights regularly, or you just don't know what like a program would look like, what I want you to think about is it's not shameful to reach out for help. It's not embarrassing if you don't know. This is what we're here for. This is why we do things like podcasts and public speaking and coaching, because this information should be for everybody. Everybody should have access to this. Everybody should be entitled to being healthier and knowing what to do. So those are just some questions that came in. Hopefully that like, you know, struck a chord with you. Maybe it was a question that you had. And of course, if you've got any other questions, I want you to reach out to me, find me on social media, email me, get yourself immersed in this language of menopause and the things that we can do to prevent ourselves from not being able to carry on and do the things we love. Thank you so much for listening this week, and we will be back again in the club in 2 weeks. Please stay badass. Please take care of yourself and go lift those weights.
Well, there you have it. One step closer to feeling strong, confident, and inspired to take care of you again. And you know what's even more badass? Sharing this with a gal pal that might need a little fist pump in her life. If you got some inspo from this episode, I'd be honored if you took a screenshot for your social and tagged me at Coach Heather Yancey so I can send you a personal thank you. And please know that if you could take a minute to rate and review the show, it helps get this podcast to more people. And that's super badass. And finally, if you haven't joined the Badass Reset Club on Facebook, what are you waiting for? I'll see you over there and go get them.